From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Well, today isn't actually a work day, although it is, because I'm at the home of one of my favourite actresses of the 60s, one of the faces of the 60s, a wonderful Rita Tushingham. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to see you too.
It's been a while, us getting together, but well worth waiting for, Rita.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I know we were going to meet, then we couldn't, but here we are now.
And I must say, you look lovely.
Oh, thank you very much. That's nice.
And obviously, Taste of Honey, Girls with Green Eyes, The Leather Boys, The Knack, The Trap, Dr. Zhivago, some amazing movies. But I like to go back, really. Originally, we were going to meet in 1990, I think. Do you remember? You were due to come to the Isle of Wight, because you'd never been, had you?
No, and I haven't yet, much to my shame. But yes, 1990. I was going to come to a festival, but unfortunately, I was then living in Canada, so I had to go back to Canada at that time. I couldn't make the festival.
Were you born in the middle of an air raid, is that right?
Just before, premature.
Were you?
Yeah, and my mum, I was born very quickly, and my mum caught me with her feet.
Did she?
And I thought, that's why I love football, probably. My introduction to the world was feet, and that's what you use for football.
Yes, I've just noticed, obviously, you're a Liverpool supporter, having been born in Liverpool. As we speak, they're doing awfully well, aren't they?
Well, they are. I think that it's great, and they're doing it without too much show, which is wonderful. I think Jurgen Klopp is a fantastic manager, and he's great. You can see with all the team, he really seems to care, and they've got a very good relationship. And I think he doesn't stand any nonsense, but he's very nurturing of them. That's what I see. I might be completely wrong.
You were a grocer's daughter, weren't you?
Yes. My dad has since passed away, and I enjoyed that because, funnily enough, I was saying to there's a corner shop here where I live. And I was saying to the fellow when I was buying a newspaper the other day, and I said, oh, gosh, it's 7 day a week job, really, because I remember I used to go with my dad to the shop on Sunday, stacking the shelves. And I used to love putting all the tins of fruit or beans or whatever on the shelf. And I remember seeing him cut the bacon in those days, you know, they used on the bacon machine. Mm. And his huge coffee machine, which used to make the shop smell wonderful. And at the end of the day, brushing the floor and putting sawdust on the floor, which, of course, you don't do now on the wooden floor. And at the other end, he had a post office at the other end
of
the shop.
Did he? Yeah. That was sort of in the heyday of the small shopkeeper, really, wasn't it? Yeah.
And, you know, my dad was very forward-thinking because he said, you know, the supermarkets are going to kill it for the small grocers with one shop or two shops or whatever. And he formed an organisation called GADGRO, which was Garston and District Grocers. And they got a warehouse so they could buy in bulk. But that was very forward thinking of him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when I think, because, you know, when you think of your parents when they have an idea. But gosh, really ahead. And that, I think, helped a lot of the small businesses that they could buy possibly at the same price as the supermarkets.
Yeah, that happened a bit later on. One or two others tried that, didn't they?
Yeah.
On the Isle of Wight, we had a buying group similar to that.
Yeah, and it's really good. I know my dad visited the United States and they saw quite a few of the supermarkets there. So he was really tuned in to that.
You got run over by a car, didn't you?
I did, at the age of 7.
Gosh.
Completely run over. It went right over me. And I remember sort of coming round, and I was going to tell someone that had been visiting my mum. My mum could see from the window that she was at the wrong bus stop. And so I went, but they're heavy cars in those days. And I was careful. I don't know where this came from, this car, from behind a bus, I think. And it went right over me, and I'm so careful about crossing the road now. I thought I was then, but now I'm really cautious, and I do check, even when the green man is there, I always check, because cyclists seem to shoot the light sometimes. Not all, but some do. And so I always check again before I cross, and I do that. If I'm taking my grandchildren to school, I'll always stand there and check. And I think some people become impatient, you feel people are looking at you, wondering why you're standing there, but that's what I do now. And you never, ever forget that experience. it lives with you forever. And I don't mean you're terrified of it, but it's always there.
I read something you wrote many years ago, said you were a terrible child. That wasn't right, was it?
I was naughty.
Were you?
And having two brothers, so I had to compete with them. So that's quite something. I suppose I was a bit, yeah, I was a bit naughty, but I don't think I was terrible, but I was certainly cheeky.
Was there a haunted house in your life?
The house that we lived at in Liverpool, in Hunts Cross. Yeah, that was, it was a very strange house. I remember sitting with my mum and my brothers in having tea and watching the door handle turn, and we were locked in
wow.
to the room. And then we couldn't get out, and then about 20 minutes later, my dad arrived and unlocked the door. And it was strange things. It just was not, I don't mean my childhood was unhappy, but that was not, it wasn't a happy house.
Do you believe in ghosts then or not?
I believe in certain things. I mean, a lot of people poo-poo it. And I think unless you've had an experience of it, perhaps you don't. But I believe there are certain things that remind you of people that happen and stuff. I don't like to think of evil forces. I would worry about that. I believe in life after death, and I have a faith, which a lot of people don't. But I would never ram it down anyone's throat. It suits me, but what suits me doesn't necessarily suit someone else.
Rita, I know Peter Evans's column in the Daily Express changed your life, really, didn't it?
Yes, because there was a story about Tony Richardson and John Osborne, who were going to film A Taste of Honey, and they were looking for an unknown actress to play the role of Jo in A Taste of Honey. And I knew about the play, so I got that out. I read the play, and this is what fate does, I think. At the time, I was also reading a play of John Osborne's called The World of Paul Slickey. And at the back of the book was John Osborne's agent's address. So I wrote a letter and sent photographs to say, oh, yes, I'd like to be considered for this role, and I'm at Liverpool Rep, and a lot of the people that were at Liverpool Rep at the time, the actors, because I was a student ASM
yeah.
on £1 a week.
Yeah, I was going to say, you didn't get much.
Helped me write the letter, and then I got a reply saying, if you were going to be in London, come and see us. So I did. And I went to the Chelsea Town Hall and did an audition and some improvisation and an audition with Peter Gill. Mm. Who I sometimes see, a lovely actor and director. And then I was called back for a film test.
I read somewhere it said that you were one of the advance guards of Liverpool talent, because this was pre-Beatles, wasn't it, really?
Well, I suppose... I was. They sort of followed about a year
They'd
or
been
so
Frankie
later.
Vaughan and Arthur Askey and people like that. Yeah. Because it was really overnight success for you, wasn't it?
See, I'd worked at Liverpool Rep backstage and played small roles. And I hadn't thought at all about film. I just wanted to act. I knew this from a very, very early age. And then when I got this opportunity, and it was an amazing role, and when it was released, everything sort of seemed to fall into place. It was very well received, the film.
It's still much talked about, isn't it? Because I've told one or two I was coming up to see you, and they all said, oh, fantastic, A Taste of Honey, which was your first film, I know, but it was a special film, and Dora Byrne was amazing, wasn't she?
It was lovely, Dora. Well, they just had a season of Woodfall films at the British Film Institute. They had a month of films from Woodfall. And without Tony Richardson, who knows, I probably would not have been in film. And he really just gave me this amazing opportunity, as John Osborne did. They were a great company, because also they were very involved in the theatre at the Royal Court in Sloane Square. So they were really the sort of new energy into what was, I suppose, we'd just come out of that grey period, and then suddenly the 60s came and all this colour came in, and people were allowed to do certain things, and you were received with open arms in a way, whereas it was very difficult to get, especially a film like Taste of Honey made. And you look at all the other films, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, The Entertainer. People were open to finance those films.
There's been a box set recently which I bought.
Oh, did you? Yeah, there was. But it was a great sort of occasion, I think. And we did some Q&As at the BFI. The BFI are amazing, I think.
Put that light out!
I'm trying to relax and listen to John Hannum.
Suddenly you were famous. Everybody knew you, didn't they? Was that difficult to cope with?
I think it's far more difficult to cope with now, because wherever you go with mobile phones and things, people can take pictures of you and post them or whatever they do with them. And I think then, yes, because you do interviews and you'll do television, but now there's such a volume of magazines and online and television shows that you're almost bombarded with it. We were allowed certain freedom that I don't think young people who are discovered, become well known, have now. You're always having to be there in the moment, whereas we could relax and go to clubs and be safe in knowing if you're in a club and just wanting to dance and things like that. People weren't spying on you. But I think, and spying's the wrong word, but people weren't observing or maybe thinking they could have a quick shot of you. Now, it's the whole entertainment business. Plus, I have to say, sports stars, when you look at how they're sort of followed and things, the privacy isn't there. You can keep yourself away from it, but it's not easy.
That film, obviously, it was a relationship, a friendship between a white lady and a black man, which hadn't been seen very much in a British movie, had it?
Not at all, no. And it was the first interracial kiss, apparently. I was told at the BFI.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there's a record for
on
it.
On film. Yeah. And Paul Dankwa played the sailor.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Oh, such a lovely man. He sadly died 2 years ago, and he was the godfather to my first born daughter.
Oh.
Dodonna.
I always remember the scene when you and Dora get out the window when you try to get away without paying the rent. That always sticks in my mind.
I think having Dora, who was just perfect.
Yes, she was.
Absolutely. And you know, being my first film, and I just loved the atmosphere. I loved the camera and everything. But she was so easy, as was Robert Stevens and the beautiful Murray Melvin. It was, what a cast.
Yes.
Cast from heaven, really.
I've interviewed Dora about 3 times during her life, and she was always catty. Was she like that, doing that? Or?
Oh, totally. But that was the joy of Dora. What you see is what you got, you know. She was just funny and sweet and loved her children. There was so much about her and her husband, you know, really, and so talented.
Yes. I was sat interviewing one day and someone thought I was her husband. He came up and he said, "Oh, is this your husband, Dora?" She said, "No, it isn't, actually." I'm not so sure I could have coped.
He was the very famous cricketer.
He was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to talk cricket with him when I stopped talking to her, you know.
If you could stop talking to Dora.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if she could stop talking. I mean, she was so funny.
She was.
Wonderful.
Sometimes she said things she really shouldn't have said and we had to edit them out, you know.
Oh, God, yeah, of course. But that was Dora.
Yes.
You knew what you were going to get.
I like the Leather Boys. And Dandy Nichols was in that, Johnny Briggs.
Yes.
Sadly, Dudley Sutton, who's just died in the last few days.
Yes, he just recently died, a couple of days ago. That was very enjoyable, the Leather Boys, but it was very different. And Sidney Furie, who directed it, and we improvised quite a lot of it. We had the script, and it was from Gillian Freeman's book.
Is that difficult, Rita, to improvise?
I don't mind doing it, but I do think you've got to keep within the walls of it, because sometimes you can improvise, and sometimes when you're watching something, you think, oh, wait a minute, that improvised, because it's not, you know how a conductor conducts the orchestra. There's sometimes you feel, oh, that's a bit out of it there. I like to have that feel because there's the freedom, but I do like to know where we're going. Once we're shooting, I think you need to know where you are. Maybe because that's an old-fashioned way of looking at it, but I feel safer. I like to know where we're going, but I like to explore all the levels of the scene and things like that with everyone else. We all work together, but sometimes can become unbalanced.
You were in a Smiths video, weren't you?
Yes.
That's something, wasn't it?
So talented. Wow.
One of my all-time favourite movies of yours, of course, Girl with Green Eyes, because I love Peter Finch and obviously I like you.
And Lini Redgrave.
Yeah.
Beautiful Lini
Redgrave.
And
the chemistry between you all on the screen, I think, was fantastic.
Well, Peter Finch was a joy. Mm. Really, he was. He was just so wonderful. And I think, in a way, he was such a wonderful actor. You almost feel he was underrated, and also a very generous actor. He would embrace the whole scene and would make it very easy. Nothing's easy, but you know what I mean? You felt very comfortable and secure working with him. And, of course, Lynn Redgrave, who was one of my closest friends.
Yes.
From very early on when I first went to London. And we just got on so well together. We worked very well together.
That was sort of class distinction in a way, because you were sort of working class and he was a bit more sort of upper class, wasn't he?
Yeah, Peter Finch.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. He was an Australian, you know.
Yes.
So I don't quite know. But he was there was no nonsense about him at all. He just loved what he was doing and he was very funny.
Did you like The Knack? Did you like...
I loved it. And Richard Lester and his wife, Deirdre, are my closest friends. And I loved doing it. I did the stage play, and the film was very different. But yes, I really loved that experience. And I also worked with Richard on The Bedsitting Room.
Yes.
Which was also, to me, a very interesting film and way ahead of its time when you look at it now.
Weren't Pete and Dud in that?
Yes, they were. Peter Cook, Dudley Moore. Yeah.
Were they fun to be
Mona
around?
Washbourne. Oh, yeah. Washbourne, Sir Michael Horden, Sir Ralph Richardson. You know, a great cast.
I watched Dr. Zhivago quite a few times. I love the movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was a great fan of Julie Christie, who was another face of the
60s. Beautiful actress.
And you're in that
absolutely
movie.
Absolutely meant for film, wasn't she? Her face.
Most definitely.
Is so gorgeous.
And your scenes a lot were with Alec Guinness, weren't they, in that one?
Yes, just with Alec Guinness.
Yeah.
At the dam.
Yes.
It was sort of we open the story and then at the end it sort of close.
I just love the story because, you know, you can see how he fell for both ladies, can't you?
Yes.
Know, it's...
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, you can almost sort of allow that to happen. You're not outraged by
no,
it
exactly.
at all. Because they were so both beautiful women, weren't they? And
yes.
I don't mean physically beautiful. I just mean that their minds were beautiful.
Yes. I know you made a movie with Sir John Mills, didn't you, called Human
yes,
Factor?
Yes, I did.
I interviewed him. I went to his house once and I did an interview with him. And he was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
And we were talking about the Oscar-y one for Ryan's Daughter. And, of course, he said to me... I didn't speak in that. He said, I'd never won one before. And he said, when they were learning their lines, I was in the pub drinking Guinness.
It's funny, isn't it, that? Because I did a film called The Trap.
I was going to bring that in, yeah.
Interesting, because playing a mute.
Yeah.
But in a way, it's even more difficult because you find that, I don't mean you're physically throwing yourself around, but you're physically, I think, emotionally more contained. And to try and get... over what your character's feeling, at the end of the day, it was quite exhausting because you don't realise just how much you're putting into it, and it doesn't matter that you don't have a line to say. You're in the emotion without being able to verbally express it.
I think you were fantastic in that. I watched it again the other night, and obviously your eyes have been a good fortune for you over the years, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, I love doing it.
Yeah.
And we were in Canada.
Yes.
We went to Vancouver and then a place called Pemberton, where it was freezing, freezing cold. And we lost the light, and Bobby Kraska was the DOP, director of photography. And, you know, we'd lose the light by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and rushing against everything. Sydney Ayres, who directed it, and Ron Goodwin, who did the music. And they use that the track for the marathon.
I know
the
they
London
do,
marathon.
Yeah.
But it really fits, doesn't it?
Yeah. I went to Ron's house, the late Ron Goodwin.
Oh, yeah.
It?
And, yeah.
Such a charming man. We ought to mention the other star in it, a guy called Oliver Reed.
Oh, no, Oliver. Well, I mean,
how did you cope
no
with him?
Was it? I got on fine with him because I just... he was like he's really a young boy in a sweet shop, you know.
Yes.
And so talented. And we work very well together. He's crazy, of course.
Yes.
And he was unique. Do you know anyone else that before or after that was like Oliver? I don't think there is anyone else. And I don't think that a lot of people now would feel that was the right way to behave, even if they wanted to.
Yeah.
It too much would get out now because of social media
exactly.
and everything. Whereas, no, Oliver was... He never knew what was going to happen with him, but it was always interesting.
Did you have to stop the filming sometimes? Or
No, not at all. No, no. He was very professional.
Yeah. But the setting and the scenery in that is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful. It really was beautiful.
Yeah. Smashing Time.
With Lynn Redgrave and Desmond Davis.
Yeah, Michael York, I think.
Lovely Michael, yes. Who? And then, no, that was fun. It was sort of a slapstick in a way.
Irina Handel, I used to love
God,
her.
Oh, God, wasn't she fantastic?
Yeah.
Do we have people like that? Of course we do, but they were just very special, I suppose, because, you know, meeting someone like Irina Handel, and she was just that little gem of a person.
You were directed by Maud Ettering, weren't you? Were you in?
Yes. Sunday Pursuit, it was called. And it was with Denham Elliott.
Wow, he was a great actor, wasn't he?
Yes, yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And that was interesting. She was very nice to work with, very good. And it was really about what they have now, dating, but how we met.
Oh, right.
And had tea and
oh,
something.
Oh, did you?
It's a very, very sweet story.
Yeah, I have seen it. I think I enjoyed it. Yeah. More recently, you were in I Love Telstar. I love that movie. You had a very small part.
But that was an interesting role, wasn't
telling
it?
Me.
It was, yeah.
And what a great story, wasn't it? Well,
oh,
sad
it was
ending.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Wasn't it his life? And tortured, too. And that was Nick that directed that.
Yes, Nick Moran did a great job. That was the story of Joe Meek, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that sort of bring back memories? Because you know, there were songs by John Layton and all these other.
Oh
people.
Yeah, there was all that. But
and Telstar, of course, the tornadoes and all that stuff.
I know, but what a really crazy life.
Yeah, and the ending. Well, it's unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
There's still thousands of people that follow his music, and they go to conventions. And
But his life was in turmoil, wasn't it?
Yes,
a lot of the time.
You did another film called Green Eyes, didn't you?
Yes, that's right, with Paul Winfield.
Yes,
and that was shot in the Philippines.
Was it?
Yeah, Philippines. Oh, that terrible storm that's just hit the Philippines.
Yes,
it's terrible. But we shot that there. That was interesting to do. Paul Winfield, such a majestic kind of man. He was such a good actor too, very calm, and that beautiful voice.
John Hannam, host of British Radio's longest-running non-stop chat show. This is Your Life.
Did you have favourite actors when you worked with them?
No, because, you know, the people you work with, you love working with them. You're not going to get on with everyone, but if you don't, you don't have to mix with them at the end of the day. But it's very important to get on with people because it does make a difference on screen. The camera doesn't lie.
You did No Strings. That was with Keith Barron.
Oh, yeah, lovely Keith Barron.
Yeah, he was terrific,
and Carla
wasn't he?
Lane, who wrote it.
I think lots of guys envy the sort of roles that Keith Barron played.
Oh, Keith, he was... Gosh, what a sense of humour. How he's missed. He was just delightful. I've been very lucky, actually.
You have.
It
was sort of,
with.
You were his flatmate, weren't you?
Yes, that's
yes.
right. Well, he thought it was going to be a man that was arriving, and it was this crazy woman that Carla had created. That was fun.
He didn't realise how lucky
he was.
No,
it was great fun to do.
And then you played Celia Higgins, of course, in Bread.
That's right, yeah. And again, that Carla said, well, would I do that? And I said, yeah, I'd love to. And that was real, it was great fun to do that. And Jean Boat.
Because that was set in Liverpool, I think,
yes,
wasn't it?
It was.
So it was
going
home
would
for
do,
you.
We would shoot just the exteriors in Liverpool, all the interiors in London.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah. You cropped up in new tricks too, didn't you?
Yeah, with Jimmy Bolam, who I've known for years. Jimmy was one of the first people I met when I first arrived in London. And I'd known him for many years. And he was in the stage version of The Knack.
But that was a great series because there were lots of old pros in it, weren't there?
Yeah, and Dennis Alan Walton. Armstrong,
who
I'd been in a film with. And he's such an extraordinary actor, Alan. He's really... I know I keep saying these actory words. It sounds so actory the way I'm talking. but he was. There's so much talent in the world, but in this country, when you think of people and you were saying to me and you throw out a name and you think, oh, gosh, yeah. It's nice to work with people with, you know, you're in safe hands.
I love Vera, and I interviewed Brenda Blethyn in Eastbourne a few years ago.
She's so divine. We did a film together.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's hilarious, isn't she?
I mean, she was just a secretary, and she only joined an amateur group because they were short, and she ends up
Hollywood
movies.
She's a delight.
She told me.
And so funny. We laughed a lot.
I bet you did. She was in America, just finished doing a stage show, and somebody said, oh, Robert Redford's officer on the phone, and she thought it was a wind-up. Of course, turned out to be Robert Redford,
We did a film called The Calling, where she plays the Mother Superior, and I was a Liverpool nun.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, that was interesting.
You've worked in a lot of countries, Rita, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I've worked in Germany a lot. I've worked in Poland.
Are foreign movies a lot different to ours when you sort of make
And
them?
Italy, I've done a lot of films.
Have you?
And Hungary. No, absolutely no different. You know who's on sound and you know who's doing props. It's almost like they're a certain breed. You know what they're like. You were talking about your daughter. And wardrobe and things.
Yes.
You just can tell what department these people come from.
Right. Oh, there's a
It's
sort
nice.
Of...
It's almost like they're cast. You know, it's lovely. I love that.
And were they... Did you speak the foreign language or were
no,
they
no,
dubbed?
No, no,
no. They dubbed.
It was... They were made in... The Hungarian one I made, that was made in Hungarian, so they dubbed. And then there was the Italians, but the Italians all... Then used to talk on set, so they always used to have to do ADR on it. And and the one in Hungary, that was shot in English.
You've sort of been making movies on and off for a long time, haven't you, really, when you think about
yes.
it?
Yes. Been going a long time.
Yes.
Sure. Which I love. It's just part of me. I love to act.
Away from the job, I know you've raised a lot of money toward breast cancer, haven't you, over the years?
Well, we've tried, myself and my daughter, because my daughter was diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 34. And so it was, I'd been involved in charities before that, but then I suddenly saw how amazing she was treated at the Royal Marsden Hospital in London, an extraordinary hospital. And so you'd do anything, really, to help. And was such a generous country. Britain, Great Britain, is a very generous country. And when you think that a lot of these organisations were only going because of charity, that kept going and they can do their research and things simply because of people's generosity. So I think you have to bring that to people's attention. Whatever your charity is, I was involved with Carla on her charity as well for animals, Animal Line, and Linda McCartney. And lovely Linda, and things like that. So you get involved in, I think, what's close to you, because often you're asked to do things, and you can't, especially early on when you first come to notice, you can't say yes to everything. So you just choose the charities that you... And certainly Cancer Research UK and the Royal Marsden Hospital are charities that I certainly would try to raise money for.
You rang me up the other day and you said, I can see the Isle of Wight from here.
Yeah, that's true, because I was spending some time with some friends and with my grandchildren, Dylan Leaf and Willow Rain, and my daughter Aisha.
Yes.
So, and yes, we would sit on the beach and look over at the Isle of Wight. In fact, I think you waved one day. I'm not sure.
Yes.
That was you, wasn't it?
Yes,
I waved
it was,
back.
Yeah.
I hope the person...
I'm careful who I wave, but I'll wave to you any time.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Do you still paint? You used to paint at one time?
Yes, I do. And I bought... Funnily enough, you should say that, because I bought this. I thought... But this is painting by numbers, because I hadn't got any things, because I've just come back from L.A.
Yes.
And I went to...
Was that a good trip?
Yes, it was. It was good. Fantastic. And also, my oldest daughter lives there. And so I saw her. And she's now an American citizen.
Is she?
Yeah. And so that was good. And the people that I was with, it was a very interesting couple of weeks. I loved it.
Looking back on an amazing career, which sort of almost happened overnight, because you were earning £1 a week, and then all of a sudden
I tell you, I didn't get that much for Taste of Honey, but I would have done it for nothing.
Exactly. Well, people still talk about it, don't they?
It was such a great career story. I mean, you do it. Now, when people ask you to do things, and you know, they say, oh, well, it's a low budget. If it's a good story, of course you're going to do it. That's what does it for you, the fact that you love to act, you love to create, and also the people that you're involved with. It's very important to keep doing that. And I try to, when I'm asked, to do work with young students that are doing perhaps their first film, and they're short or something. I would always try and, if I can, if I'm free to do so, I would try and be involved with something like that.
Obviously now it's a world of celebrity, which... I'm not that
celebrity.
Keen on. Yes.
What is celebrity?
What is it? When you suddenly came to fame through all those wonderful movies, I mean, there were front page stories on you and massive spreads. Did you enjoy those sort of things or not really?
I thought it was always like that. I mean, that went with the territory, really. As I said earlier, I think it's far more difficult now for people, because you have to keep... All the time, it's like you've got to keep reinventing yourself or producing things or doing something. And it's almost a sort of focus on you. And people just, you know, eat it up, because there is so much. There's so many things to fill with all these stories. And so many of them are not true. But you can keep yourself away from that. I would go to... the opening of a film, if you're in the film. I don't like those big galas and things like that. But obviously, if you're invited and you're involved in doing something, yes. But I would never just go to the Cannes Film Festival unless there was a reason to be there.
You won an award, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did.
And a BAFTA and a Golden Globe, all for A Taste of Honey.
And New York Critic. I won quite a few. And it's... Well, that was nice, but I do think you've got to go back into reality. You've got to live in the real world. And then when you go to work, you take your clothes off and put on a costume and you become someone else. But you've got to get back to yourself at the end of the day. I mean, obviously, you're thinking of your next day's work, but you also can't lose touch with yourself.
I don't reckon you've ever changed. I reckon you, in your life, you are what you are. I don't think you... Do you think so?
I think I'd like to be true to myself, but I think you go through stages of being a little... I'm sure I went through... I was a little bit... I have to have been a bit arrogant and stuff at times, or a bit cocky, which is youth, let's face it, because I was very young when I made my first film. But I would hope that I've kept to my roots... And I'm very much a Liverpudlian. Liverpool is very important to me. The fact that I was born there, it's in my veins. I love Liverpool, and I think that has perhaps grounded me in a way. And also my family would never stand for any nonsense, you know, having two brothers and things. And there are times when we're all caught at a bad moment, maybe. You want to be honest to yourself, I think, and whatever that self is.
You must have met the Fab Four over a period.
Oh, God, yeah, of course. Yeah. And also because Richard directed them.
Yes.
In the films Hard Day's Night and Help. You'd go to clubs, they'd be there. It was just sort of normal. Yes. And as I say, there weren't people running around with cameras doing things. You could have some privacy.
So you're not on Facebook, are you?
Nope.
I didn't think you
would
be.
I wouldn't know how to do
it. Nor am I.
I'm hopeless with, computers. I can email and I can text and I can send little emojis. I love those little emojis and things like that. But no, I'm not. I'm sort of computer illiterate, I would say.
Finally, have you got any real regrets, or would you do it all again if you could?
I think we all have regrets, but what can we do about them? If it's something that you can mend, then I think you should do so, because I don't think you should carry anger around. And yes, I do have some regrets about certain things, but that was part of life. That's how life played out for me, but not in my career. And there'll be certain things that you're asked to do and you can't do. I don't honestly think that you should think about that and think, oh, I wish, because that was how life was at that time. And just to enjoy it, to be able to still be acting at my age, I think I'm very fortunate. I love it, and I love to mix with people, but I also like some time away from that.
Have you ever thought, if you hadn't seen that piece in the Daily Express, if you'd never seen that, I wonder how your life would have...
Do you know, it's funny, you ask that. No, I hadn't really, at all. But I do think that I would not have been in film if it hadn't been for Tony Richardson. He just saw something in me, thank God, and I'm forever grateful to him. He was a wonderful, wonderful man and a wonderful director. And as I think John Osborne, they were so good with me that I can't think what it would have been. Who knows? I might have been a grocer. I don't know.
Yes.
I mean, I've never really thought about it, because you don't. You sort of are on that path in life.
You might have sold out to one of the big boys. You could have made a few
million.
Yeah,
exactly. I could have. Darn. No, I love to do what I do, and I'm happy that I can still do it.
You were definitely one of the faces of the 60s, Rita, because there was obviously Julie Christie and you, and people that were associated with the 60s, and they can't take that away from it. It was fantastic, really, wasn't it?
Well, it was a great time. It really was, because it was almost like a rebirth, and certainly the eyes of... certainly Hollywood were on London and what we were producing at that time, but it wasn't just film, it was theatre, it was art, it was music. There are times like that, that everything took off and colour came in. And the marvellous thing about it was that you were able to have that opportunity, that people would give you that opportunity. Now it's very much on, is this going to make money, or how much did it make over the weekend, or this. Now I think you've got to make instant successes instead of letting it slowly become a success, you know.
Do you know what? I've waited 50 years to interview you. And I'm ever so pleased I waited.
Thank you.
And congratulations on quite a remarkable career. And you still look very good, Rita.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
And I wish you lots of luck in the future and good health.
Well, thank you. Same to you. And it's been a pleasure.
And thanks for entertaining me at your house. I really appreciate it. You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.